Hey guys, it's Candace.
And it's Elena.
And you're listening to Cousins on Crime.
It's been a couple weeks.
It's been weeks on weeks on weeks.
Yeah. So did you have fun? Tell me about it.
I did. I went on a little, well, Daniel has named it Mother's Misbehaving.
And did you misbehave?
Yes, I did misbehave. Oh, no. Because I actually got pulled over for speeding.
Girl.
I flew to Vegas and me and my friend drove to California. So I drove most of the way because I am a five-year-old and I get car sick.
Or you're just a boss.
Yeah, I tried to hang in there, you know, and she drove some of the way and I was just like,
can't do it.
I cannot do this. So I drove, and the thing is that I think it was Highway 15. Going from California to Vegas, if any of you locals know what I'm talking about, the mountains are all in the far distance.
Right.
And there's nothing. So
for miles.
Well, yeah. And so you're going the flow of traffic and everybody's going like 95. And I was
going, so why not me?
95. So he pulled me over and my friend Dusty was like, yeah, you are getting a ticket. Like, they do not play.
Oh.
And I saw him.
Well, why didn't she tell you before that?
Well, that's the thing. I didn't realize how fast I was going. I really didn't. I really was not treating it like the Autobahn. It was just, I was just driving. And like I said, I think it's because there's nothing close to the car, so you don't see how fast you're passing everything. Everything's in the distance.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and I really just didn't realize. And so, anyway, we're looking in the rear view, and he's riding. He's like getting a cramp in his arm, and I was like, oh my gosh, he's writing me a ticket. And he came back, and he goes, so 95 and a 70. That's about a $400 ticket.
Oh.
And I was like,
can you save me some money?
Oh my gosh. I just said, I am so sorry. I said, that's not acceptable. Like, I just didn't realize. And he said, I'm going to give you a fix-it ticket.
Okay.
Because I had a South Carolina driver's license and I told him that we had recently moved to Texas.
Okay.
And he's like, so go home, get a Texas license. You're welcome.
Wow.
And Dusty was like, I don't know what to say.
Divine intervention. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. He was so nice. And he was highway patrol. So he absolutely should have given me a ticket. Like, he should have arrested me.
Well, don't give his name because we don't want to get him in trouble.
He was wonderful. So if you're listening, thank you, sir. God bless. Yeah, so I did misbehave, but I really didn't mean to misbehave.
Okay.
But it was wonderful. We went wine tasting in Santa Barbara. It rained the whole time, but it was still amazing. Great food. Then we went to Disneyland. Great food.
Disney without the kids.
It's
a different experience.
It's the best. I highly recommend. It just was so wonderful. It just was wonderful. And it was such a nice little getaway and got to see my Dusty. And
that's awesome.
And someone had a birthday while I was gone.
Oh, who?
That
was me.
Happy birthday to ya.
Keep on.
No, I better not. People are like fast forwarding now.
Make her stop. Yes, it was such a good day.
Right.
Yeah.
What did you do?
So it was a Sunday. I went to church, hung out with the youth group. We're doing a little play at the church. So we had our practice. And then I went on a family dinner. So my nephew, he has the same birthday as me and my twin brother. So I didn't get to celebrate with my brother because he was out fighting fires, the wildfire in the panhandle.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Yeah. So he was celebrating by fighting fires. Mm-hmm. And then Grayson and I got to eat at Olive Garden.
Yummy. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing about our first responders, guys. Mm-hmm. They don't get to just be at every family function.
I know.
Every
not even their holiday, own birthday.
Not even their own 40th birthday.
40th, yeah.
It's a big one.
Yeah. But so, we're not going to talk about it.
I know. And, you know, Lane's the type where he's like, yeah, let's just skip right over this.
You're exactly right. He did not even want to go eat. So he got out of it.
He's like, I'll eat a sandwich.
Yeah. So anyway, it was good.
I was sad I wasn't here, but I am going to take you to dinner.
Uh-huh. Do you know where today. You're going to take me?
Well, I said you pick.
Oh, I have to pick. Okay.
Yeah, you got to pick. So
I'll figure it out. I'll let you know.
I was thinking Chick-fil-A.
I'm totally good with that.
Can you imagine? I'll put a little candle on your nugget. In your chicken nugget.
In my shake.
Yes.
Shake. Yeah. No, shake. I almost, when you said you choose, I almost said Chick-fil-A because I'm totally fine with that.
I mean, I think I can do a little better than Chick-fil-A, but
you don't even have to. I'm simple, y'all. I'm just simple.
I know, but you know, you will be celebrated. I will figure something out.
Okay.
Sorry about my croaky grossness. Mm. I've been sick for like 3 weeks or something of that sort. I was sick the whole time on my trip, but I wasn't miserable, so that's good. But I'm going to try and get through it without sounding like a petri dish. So the case I have for you today is a double homicide.
Oh, no.
The victims didn't know each other and came from very different worlds, but they had one thing in common. Their killer. So it was a cold, drizzly Wednesday, kind of like it today. Is here and today.
Mm-hmm.
Here and today?
Yeah.
Yeah. So cold, drizzly Wednesday night on Valentine's Day in 2018.
Oh.
At 4:10 a.m., a 911 call came in from a witness to an attack that was still in progress.
What?
Yeah. The caller was telling dispatch that a man was stabbing another man in the street. And he's like, he's killing him. He's killing him.
Oh, no.
So the caller was Shigal Gagal. And no, I did not make that name. His name was Shigal Gagal. And he was waiting with his injured friend at 6th and Clark for the first responders to get there.
Oh, goodness.
But when help arrived on the scene, it was pretty clear that 39-year-old Demetrius Graves was already dead.
Oh, no.
Demetrius had an extensive criminal history, and Shigal was a transient who lived primarily on the streets. Maybe he couch surfed.
Okay.
I mean, he had a cell phone, and he dressed nice, so maybe he just was in between things.
Yeah, you still have to dress to impress, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So police were familiar with the two men. Investigators didn't immediately think that Shigal was responsible for the stabbing of his friend because he was wearing a white hoodie and light-colored shoes, and he wasn't covered in blood like you would be had you just stabbed someone multiple times. At least your shoes. He was clean. But Shigal was acting pretty erratic at the scene, kind of like fidgety and pacing. Maybe his behavior could have been attributed to the fact that he had just, I don't know, witnessed his friend being murdered.
Right.
Or maybe it was something else. Mm-hmm. But police cuffed him, and in an effort to secure the scene, they patted him down, and he had a box cutter in his pocket. Shigal was like, hey, listen, I know how this looks, but that has nothing to do with what's happened here. I didn't kill him, and the box cutter was clean. They just thought, okay, we'll set this aside.
Okay.
You did have a weapon on you. We're going to put you in the back of the car just to secure everything. No distractions. We want to just kind of get to the bottom of things. As more personnel arrived to rope off and process the scene, Shigal had finally calmed down back there and was able to give the responding officers the details of that night's events. He was with his friend Demetrius and another guy earlier in the night. He didn't know the other guy's name. He only called him the big guy.
Oh.
So they all went to the gas station, the Metro Mart, to meet up with another guy named Ariel. Then the plan was for the four of them, Chagall, Demetrius, this big guy, and Ariel, they were all going to go around the corner to Ariel's place and smoke, as you do. But on their way to Ariel's house, things went awry when Demetrius and this big guy got into it. The big guy chased Demetrius down. He pulled a knife and he began stabbing Demetrius. Now, CCTV footage from the Metro Mart showed Chagall and Demetrius arriving at the convenience store, just as Chagall said they did. Investigators saw Chagall enter first. Then moments later, Demetrius walked in doing this like little jig. Okay. This little dance.
Aww.
CCTV is always so chilling to watch.
It is. The last moments of...
I know. See No Evil on the ID channel did an episode on this case. And you have this guy, like he's in good spirits. He's just like, there was probably a song on in there that he's grooving to. Or he's feeling good, having a good time with his friend. And you just know that in a few minutes, he's going to be cut down.
Right.
And he has no idea. So the two men didn't spend a lot of time in the store, and they ended up going out front, and there was like glass doors, you know, like convenience store typical doors, and you could see them just standing right outside the glass doors. They were just kind of loitering. Demetrius could be seen talking to someone that was out of the range of the camera. And then a little while later, another guy came in camo pants walking into the store. Now, at this point, you couldn't see Demetrius and Chagall anymore. They must have like walked around the corner, but this guy seemed to have been looking for them.
Oh.
So he's exchanging words with the teller in the, or the cashier in the store, and the cashier kind of points outside, and it seems like it's all lining up, like that guy must have been Ariel. So he must have been the one meeting them there.
Okay.
He walked in thinking they would be in there, but the guy was like, no, they're outside. So everything seems to be going with Chagall's story to a T.
Okay.
I mean, they're seeing it all play out just as he said. Now, a few minutes later, Demetrius and Chagall come back into the Metro Mart, this time with a third guy, not the camo guy. They think it's the big guy.
Is the guy a big guy?
So, yeah, they think it must be this big guy described by Chagall because he was tall and stocky.
Okay.
And was, in fact, bigger by comparison to those who were standing around him.
Okay.
So, and he was clearly with the two men. So,
they're
just like, okay, this must be this big guy he's talking about. The three men spent a few minutes speaking with some patrons inside. They seemed to be fine. Nothing was amiss. Looked like everybody was having a good time. So then the three men left and a car could be seen driving away from the store in the direction of the murder scene. Now, investigators wondered if there might be other cameras in the area that could capture the next movements of the group.
That would be fantastic.
And Jimmy Crack Corn, there was a camera on a building pointed right at the alley. The alley that the murder took place.
Okay.
Ariel, the guy they believe is the camo pants guy, can be seen riding his bike eastbound down the alley, followed by a car, presumably with the other three men inside. And investigators have their undivided attention focused on this camera because they know there's about to be murder. Like in moments.
Yeah, let's see how this goes.
Exactly. Now, you can't see the crime itself take place in the footage, but moments after you see the men heading eastbound, you can see two men running away back down the alley westbound.
Okay.
In the direction they came from. The footage is dark and grainy, so you couldn't make out who the men were. There was nothing really remarkable about the first guy, but they believed the second guy was Chagall because you could see reflectors on that individual's shoes. And Chagall had reflectors on his shoes in the camera footage from the police cruiser that was pointed at him that night. So they kind of put that together. They still couldn't be sure who that first guy was, but they didn't think it was the big guy, quote unquote.
Okay.
Because he was shorter in stature than Chagall, and it didn't measure up with the footage from the gas station.
Okay.
So detectives sent screenshots of the CCTV footage from the mart of this big guy. Like they had a pretty clear view of his face. He had a hoodie on, but they could see his face. Mm. And they sent it around to other departments. And it didn't take long for them to get a hit because he was a known criminal named Hector Orozco Jr.
Oh, Hector.
Hector. He was a repeat offender of violent crimes. Mm. So time was of the essence.
Right.
They were pretty sure he just killed someone. So they wanted to get to him. And fast.
Yes, please.
Now, police got really lucky in this case because a tip came in that Hector was staying at the Roadway Inn in Pasco. So police parked their car in the parking lot with eyes on the room that Hector was supposedly known to be in, just waiting for him to come or go, like a little stakeout.
Yeah.
Me and Lena would have been all over that.
Oh, for sure.
And those officers weren't there long. Sorry about the rain, guys.
Yeah, if you can hear that.
There's really nothing I can do about it.
Yeah, we're just setting the mood.
It's
so.
Just, yeah, this is a rainy day podcast. So we added some special effects.
Yeah, exactly.
This was all planned.
I hope you love it.
So the officers weren't there long when they got a radio that there was something going down at the Roadway Inn. A call came into 911 and the caller was calling from the motel saying there was a fight breaking out in the room next to her.
Oh.
Which happened to be the room they were watching.
Okay.
What are the odds of that? She said there was shouting and throwing of things and it sounded pretty terrible. Mm. They better get down there. And they're like, well, we're already here. So the officers that were already at the scene bust into the room and some guy who had clearly been beaten up came scrambling out the door with his hands up. He told them Hector was in there. And he was assaulting him. Now, Hector made it really easy for them. They didn't need to go through any red tape to detain him or, you know, like get him off the street so they could question him. No, no. They're like, we're just going to arrest you for this assault.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
Good job.
So they got him that way. They brought him in for an interview. And before they even could get to Demetrius's murder. First, they're like, so what's going on back at the Roadway Inn? What's going on back there? It's quite the tussle.
Mm-hmm.
He said, oh, that was self-defense. I was trying to get him to
it's
leave me alone.
Always self-defense.
Yeah. Okay. So they steer the conversation towards Demetrius Graves now. The detective asked if he knew what happened to Demetrius, and he said, no. What? Is he okay? And seemed to be surprised to hear that anything had happened to him. The detective said, no, he's not okay. He's dead.
Yeah.
Hector was like, what? How did he die? And when he was told he was stabbed, he was like, oh no, I knew him. And just, you know, he really did seem shocked. He asked who did it and acted invested in getting to the bottom of this. He was told, well, your name's being thrown around.
Mm-hmm.
As having been responsible. And he's like, oh, well, obviously it wasn't me.
Obviously.
Obviously. I don't know why he said it like that, but Hector said he was with Demetrius the night before and they stopped at his house. And when Hector got out of the car, Demetrius just hightailed it out of there.
Oh.
Just ran away.
Sure.
And he's never been seen again. Investigators said, well, we've got this pretty good footage of what happened leading up to the murder. So do you want to try telling us again?
Yeah.
What you guys did that night? When he was confronted with the CCTV footage, he doubled down, denied having anything to do with Demetrius's murder, and says he doesn't even know who did it either. With nothing more to go on, they booked him for the assault at the motel and went back to gather more evidence. Thankfully, he was off the street.
Yes.
So maybe they didn't get to the bottom of it right then, but he's not going to be killing anybody else. So they brought Hector's car in to the police garage to do an inspection. It was a dark blue Toyota Corolla. And they noticed that it had a bumper sticker on the back that said, my boss is a Jewish carpenter.
Oh. Well, Jesus is like, a Jewish carpenter.
They're like, did you borrow this car from someone? Because you don't strike us as the type to have such a bumper sticker on their car. Right. Turns out it sure wasn't his car. And it was registered to a lady named Bonnie Ross. They called up Bonnie to see if she knew Hector, maybe lent him her car. But there was no answer. So they left a message in hopes of getting a returned call soon. Because now they're on the cusp. Like they're,
things are here's, moving here. Here's just another oddity. I know,
exactly. Now, later that day, this is now February 15th. The next day, 911 gets another call. They're, you know, working overdrive today, or, you know, this Valentine's Day holiday. They're working overdrive. 911 dispatch received this call from some neighbors that an elderly neighbor was found dead in her residence on the 1200 block of West Washington Street.
Oh, no.
Inside, police found a petite little old lady laying on the floor face down. And she was still clutching a tissue.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, cut my heart out.
Oh.
She had been stabbed multiple times and had been strangled and beaten.
No.
And it appeared that she'd been dead for a number of hours, like presumably killed the day before. The place looked like it had been ransacked, robbed maybe. There were cabinet doors and drawers open in the kitchen and the living room was in disarray. It appeared that she may have been about to go get groceries or had just come back from getting groceries because there was a grocery list on her coffee table that had some things scratched off. So it looked like she that's what she was planning to do. But there was no signs of forced entry to the home. So police thought she probably let her killer in willingly. Their victim was 82-year-old Bonnie Ross.
Oh my gosh. Y'all, to live 82 years and to be taken in such a
her family
evil.
Was undoubtedly crushed. They should be getting a call that she died an old lady warm in her bed.
Oh, yeah. Should.
Not brutally stabbed and robbed in her own home.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bonnie.
Her son said she was caring, loved life, loved her friends and family, and was always taking care of others. She was known and loved around town. Her son said that they couldn't seem to go anywhere without someone knowing her. Hey, Bonnie, how's it going? She seemed like a sweet, still very lively and sprightly, beloved grandmother, mother, and neighbor. Bonnie had just called her son just the day before on Valentine's Day to tell him he was her Valentine.
Oh, how
and told
sweet.
Him how much she loved him. And I bet he never deleted that voicemail.
Oh, I hope not. Oh.
Now, there was one thing that police were missing that they hadn't quite wrapped up yet. They hadn't talked to this Ariel guy. So they found Ariel and they brought him in to the station. Ariel told the police about the Metro March trip. He described leaving on his bike, just like they saw on the video. Then once he got to the alley, he said he couldn't really tell what was going on, but he could hear some like commotion and stuff. It was dark. And I guess he was further in front of them. And he could hear a struggle and kind of like, oh, moaning noises. And then he saw two men running away.
Okay.
So this is all lining up with the CCTV footage. Everything he says. And they believed he was telling the truth. Mm-hmm. When presented with the photo lineup, he didn't even let the detectives finish asking him the question, is it suspect number one, suspect number two, suspect number three, before he grabbed a pen and said, that one.
Wow.
It's that one. He pointed to suspect number five. There were like three detectives in the room and they're like, look again. Are you sure? You're sure? And he said, I never forget a funny face.
A funny face.
So he took a pen, he circled it 100 times, initialed it. And he identified Hector Orozco Jr.
Interesting.
So Hector's in jail for the assault on the guy at the motel. Police are wrapping up their due diligence on the Demetrius Graves murder, and all signs are pointing to Hector for that. But they were perplexed at how in the world Hector and Bonnie knew each other. They could see where Hector and Demetrius might have gotten tangled up
right
in the same space or, you know,
whatever. That's what I'm thinking. Did he know her? Was it a...
Right. But, like, how did he know Bonnie? Did she hire him to fix a toilet? Because, I mean, he strikes me as the type of guy.
Did he have to know her? Like, did he just go into her...
I don't know. They felt like Bonnie knew her killer. So, they thought, did she know him?
Because there's no forced entry.
Right, exactly. No, they believed he killed Bonnie after he murdered Demetrius.
Oh.
So, they're thinking, what if we could track his movements from the alley
okay.
to Bonnie's?
Smart.
Mm-hmm. They took to the good old CCTV footage again and found him walking from the direction of the alley where Demetrius was murdered through a convenience store parking lot. However, this time, instead of the black hoodie he was wearing at the convenience store, he's now wearing a t-shirt.
Okay.
It was freezing. It was February in Washington.
So where is that black hoodie?
And raining. I promise you he didn't take it off out of the generosity of his heart and give it to a homeless person.
Probably not. Okay.
Why are you taking that hoodie off? Where is it?
Uh-huh.
He's seen in this t-shirt walking in the direction of Bonnie's home. So they believed he walked down Bonnie Street and saw her maybe returning from the store mm-hmm. or about to head to the store. And she looked like an easy target. Maybe he offered to help her back inside.
Probably.
Who knows? But he either followed her into her home or he forced his way inside, brutally killed her, and stole her car. Now, Hector was tried for both murders. During a trial, you know, jurors are used to being told by witnesses and prosecutors how a crime went down. They don't always get the luxury of seeing the events happen for themselves.
Uh-huh.
But in this case, they had tons of video evidence to go on.
Amazing.
The CCTV footage was epic, no doubt. But they had some other things that sealed the deal as well. They found a ligature next to Bonnie, the one used to strangle her with, and it had Hector's DNA on it.
Wow.
Spectacular.
Oh, yeah.
It was also found that Hector called his mother to wish her happy Valentine's Day from Bonnie's phone.
What?
Likely right after he murdered her.
Oh my.
He called his mother.
What kind of?
And said, hey, mama, happy Valentine's Day. Hope you're having a great day.
What a mental roller coaster. You're going from killing to killing
Can
to loving.
But that's this guy. He's a psychopath.
Wow.
Has absolutely no remorse, no nothing. And in that interview with police, just the way he naturally is like, what? Are you serious? Oh, no. Like his mannerisms and everything. He doesn't miss a beat.
Wow.
It's wild. Hector was convicted of second-degree murder for Demetrius Graves and first-degree murder of Bonnie Ross, and he was sentenced to 50 years in prison.
Oh, how does that make sense?
Seems a little light.
50 years for two lives.
Yeah. He was also sentenced to 7 years for the hotel assault. Now, Hector appealed, but the courthouse recycled the appeal documents and used them as toilet paper and
love
said
it.
No.
Yeah.
It's a no from us, dog.
Yeah.
And he is currently rotting away in prison and.
Oh my goodness.
Good riddance, you loony.
Well, wow. I wonder what his behavior is there.
Probably not great.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't think so.
He's probably violent. He probably has his own little gang going on in there.
50 years for two lives that
Washington
he took.
Washington is a funny state.
Yeah.
They have so many. I mean, they have a lot of crime in
it's
Washington
a lot.
State.
It is a lot.
But their justice system, this seems a little lax, if you ask me.
Yeah.
What's going on up there, Washington?
Yeah, there is a lot going on up there. I have family that live up there, and they can't wait to get back to us because, I mean, they've been up there for years, but, and it's beautiful.
Oh,
it's such,
so beautiful. Oh,
beautiful state, but
it's terrible. I've always wanted to go to visit Seattle.
Yeah.
And my husband's been there. I've never been there. We have family there. And yeah. I've always wanted to go. And it just seems like a magical place. The pines, oh, the mountains, it's the gorgeous. Beach. Like, yeah. You've got everything. Everything.
And the weather's just,
But rest in peace, Demetrius. I'm sorry that I couldn't give more about him. They're, you know, how the media doesn't yeah. like to
tell about the person.
Yeah, we got a black guy who died and we've got a white woman who died. So yeah. let's tell all about her, which they both deserve to have their lives, you know, recounted. He was a known criminal, but I'm sure he had some amazing things about him. And I know his family misses him.
Oh,
his
I'm
family
sure.
and friends.
I'm so sorry that had to happen.
And rest it in didn't, peace, Bonnie.
It didn't have to happen.
It didn't have to happen. That's right.
Yes. Rest in peace.
That's well, all I got for you on that one.
Well, Candace, that was great. Let's do it again sometime.
Let's do it again. See you later, guys. Thanks for listening.
Bye for now.
Bye. Thank you for listening to Cousins on Crime. If you're enjoying our podcast, please consider leaving us a positive review and rating. To make sure you never miss an episode, subscribe to our show.
You can also follow us on Instagram at Cousins on Crime Podcast or send case suggestions to cousinsoncrime@gmail.com.